God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Praise God. Appreciate the presence of the Lord we feel here. I believe the Lord has something for us this morning as we enter in and open up our hearts to what He has for us. Praise God. Matthew chapter 16, and then also turn over to Psalms 24. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 24, just one verse of Scripture there. Then He said, Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Then in Psalms 24 and verse 6, just the first part there, it says, this is a generation of them that seek Him. This is a generation of them that seek Him. Brother Boyer, would you pray? You can be seated. I want to preach to you on the thought, what have you come after? What have you come after? And this morning, I'd like to ask you, I want you to stop and think, just what did you come after this morning when you come to church? What did you come with the intention of receiving? Did you come after anything in general? I trust that when you was getting ready for church, that sometime during that time period that maybe you thought to yourself, I need a fresh touch from the Lord. Or maybe you thought, I could use a healing. I could use a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I could just really come need the Lord to just come by and move in my heart and life. But you know, as much as we'd like to think that that's what we always do every time we come to church, the fact of the matter is that's not how it always is. There's times where we come to church, and I guarantee you there's some that could say, yeah, I did that this morning. You come in, and you get ready, and you come to church, and well, you know you're coming to church, but you didn't really come expecting something. You didn't really come ready to pursue after anything in particular. Even though each and every one of us would raise our hand and say that we have difficulties in our life, we have problems, we have circumstances that we need the Lord to help us with, we don't always come with those things in mind thinking, you know what, I'm going to pursue after those things. I'm going to pursue after getting help from the Lord. But this morning I want to preach on that very thought, what have you come after? And I believe that the Lord wants to help somebody here this morning. I believe the Lord wants to encourage somebody here this morning as you open up and allow God to do that very thing in your heart and life. But you know, how many's ever been to the grocery store to pick up just one item? Whether it be you or your wife forgot the one item, you know, you go in there to buy bread, milk, or toilet paper, and you go off and you forget. And usually what you forget a lot of times is one of the most important things or the main thing you went in there for. But you know, I've gone in from time to time and gone in to get stuff. And you know, as I was in there, my wife and kids would be out in the car. I go in to get one thing and I thought, well, you know, something else sounds kind of good too. And I mosey over and look through the freezer department, look for a frozen pizza to buy, something quick, you know. And then I come out and my wife, what do you get? You know, you went in there for one thing, bread or whatever. But you know, there's times where I've ran right in and I went to get just what I needed, whether it be bread or milk. But you know what? Whether it be bread or milk, I never wound up over in the produce section looking for the bread or milk, because that's not where it's at. I went over there to aisle 13 or whatever it is and went down the bread aisle and I went and found the bread that I like, that we like to eat, which usually what I like, because she usually picks what she likes, and it's more the diet type stuff, and I don't care for it. But we go and we get that very thing that we need. And you know, tonight, or this morning, You know, there's a lot of times we come to church and we come expecting to receive something, or we come and we're not really even expecting to receive what we need to be expecting to receive. And we come in and we go through all the preliminaries, we do all these other things, but we're never going down the aisle that we need to be going down. Brother Kleiman, we're not going down the bread aisle when we need to be going for the bread. We're over here in the produce where we have no business being. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone and, you know, you're way off? Well, this morning I believe the Lord wants to help us to get on track and for us to realize if we're here to get something, we need to go down the right aisle to get that very thing that we need. You know, there's a lot of people, they come and, you know, they need this or they need that from the Lord. And what do? That instead of coming into church and coming down to the altar or finding a place at the pew before church and praying, God, I really need your help in this area. A lot of times we pick up the phone and we call brother or sister so-and-so. And we tell them all about our problems. And we expect them, Brother Piper, to tell us what we want to hear, how that it'll help us or how that it'll help us with what we want to happen. But you know what? There's a lot of times when we're calling other people, or we're doing other things, and we're looking to our family, or our friends, or we're watching Dr. Phil or Oprah, or trying to figure out something else to help us, when all the time we should be going to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a lot of times that we do all those other things, and you know what? We wind up empty. We wind up empty-handed because we've never gone down the avenue that we need to go to, and that's calling upon Jesus. So this morning I want to ask you, did you come seeking after something? Did you come seeking after the right thing? I want us to look at our text that we first read. And we're going to talk about this scripture here. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then I read in Psalms 24 that there is a generation of them that seek Him. We're in a generation where it's not popular to go to church anymore. We're in a generation where it's not popular to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're in a generation where it's easier to be to just fade in with everybody else and claim that you're a Christian. And, you know, if you're in a group with Christians, be a Christian. If you're a group where you're not a Christian, you don't have to be a Christian and it's all okay. But it's not all okay. He said, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me. And you know what he's crying out to? He's trying to reach out to those that are lost and undone. He's not just reaching out to them. He's reaching out to anybody that is willing to come after him, though. He says, if any man. He's not just certain men. He didn't say if just the lost. He didn't say if just the saved. Because you realize after you become a Christian, you can still come after the Lord. You can still pursue after more of Him, Brother Jared. We can still go deeper in the things of God if we so desire. The door is open wide for many to come and follow after Him. Jesus is standing at your heart's door and He's knocking. He's knocking, waiting for you to open up and let Him come inside and work in your heart and life. Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you realize it says there that he's standing at the door knocking? And it doesn't say if you hear my knock. He says if you hear my voice. You know what you need? Is we all need to get in tune where we know the voice of God. Because we're saying, yeah, God's knocking. And we're in our mind thinking, yes, we're looking for a knock at the door. You know what that knock is? It's the voice of God. But if we don't know that voice, we're never going to hear that knock at our heart's door. He says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth does really mean anybody. If the Lord is dealing with you and you feel that pulling, it's that whosoever calling your name, wanting you to make things right with Him. In John, or 1 John 4:15, it says, again, whosoever. But it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. God dwelleth in him and he in God. As I said a while ago, this generation isn't a popular generation to be a Christian in. Really, I don't know if there's ever been a generation to be. But in spite of what people may say, in spite of what people may do, we still have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you haven't listened very much to the radio or the TV, then you probably ain't going to know what I'm talking about. But there's a big push out there today that you don't have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a big push out there by all the big mega churches and all the guys on TV for the most part. I'm throwing them all in one bucket for the most part. There's some exceptions. But there is a big push that Jesus isn't the only way. They'll try to tell you that there's other roads, there's other ways, there's other messiahs. But let me tell you what, if the Bible says that you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then that settles it then. That it means that there is no other way in spite of what everybody else may say. Do you realize Noah preached the gospel? Noah was preaching the truth. He was preaching what was right, and the whole world at that time turned against him. But it didn't make everything okay. It didn't make what everything they said all right. And it isn't going to in this generation either. They can say what they want. They can say and do what they as they please. But Jesus is still the Son of God, and He's still the only way. There's nothing like being a part of the family of God when you become a child of God. If any man will come after Him, they're going to become a child of God. And you know, there's nothing like being in the part of the family of God. I mean, you know, there's a lot of families that And Brother Ellison is teaching on the family and relationships in the young adult class. But, you know, there's a lot of families that have disunity. There's bickering, there's fighting, and stuff like that goes on. Well, you know what? When you become and get a part of the family of God, do you realize that it's not like that in the family of God? Let me say that again. I said it's not like that in the family of God. Now, I understand there's some families of God that's had some quarrels. And I understand that there's been problems go on from time to time and all across this country where people's had problems. But do you realize, I'm not so sure, but I would say they're not a part of the family of God. You say, well, Brother Armstrong, they're Christians, they're a body. Let me tell you what, God is not the author of confusion, church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And folks, I understand we can look in the Bible and we can see where things happened in Corinth and different places like that and different churches, but that don't mean it's okay and that don't mean it's of God, Brother Matthias. A lot of things happen under the title of Christian or church, but that don't mean it's right. But I'll tell you, if you become a part of the family of God, when you become a Christian, it ought to be the greatest family that you've ever joined up with. You shouldn't have to worry about your brothers and sisters doing you wrong and things happening. You ought to be so glad you're in the part of the family of God. If we do as we should and maintain peace, the peace of God, then we'll have it in the family of God. God's family should be like no other family that there is. Romans 10 and 13, it says again that whosoever... It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to tell you, you want to know what you need to do to get saved? Is just simply call out upon Jesus. I understand there's a little more into it. You got to believe. You got to have faith in God. You got to truly be repentant. But I tell you what, sometimes you don't have time to get down into the nitty gritty and repent like what we all like to hear somebody do. But if somebody's in dire need, if they're on their deathbed, if they're in a car accident, and all they can do is cry out upon the name of the Lord knows what they're doing. He knows their heart. All anyone needs to do is truly call upon the name of the Lord with a heart that is sincerely sorry and willing to repent and confess their sins to the Lord. If someone has a heart like that, you know what's going to happen? They're going to truly repent. They're going to make things right. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to continue to walk after the Lord. They're going to continue to pursue after the Lord. They're going to continue to walk in His likeness. You can say what you want, but the fact of the matter is God's not going to pick and choose just certain people. He's not going to say it's just going to be you or it's just going to be you. He's not in that business. In fact, Acts 10 and 34 says it like this, that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Oh, the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It's for whosoever will that wants to come after Him. It's for whoever wants to come and serve Him. If any man will come after me," is what he's saying, "just come on." You know, it really don't matter how you come. He just wants you to come. He's got a free gift, and He'll wash your sins away. He'll take that guilt, that shame. All you have to do is ask. He wants you to come just as you are. A lot of times people like to think, well, you know, I don't look right. I don't feel, I want to get things worked out myself. I want to get some things settled and take care of. No, Jesus wants you to come just like you are. He wants you to come just the way you feel. He even wants you to come just the way you even smell. He wants to come and He wants to clean up your life if you'll allow Him to. But the fact of the matter is are you willing and are you going to be one that will come after Him? Let me move on. He goes on to say that let Him deny Himself. You have to be willing to deny yourself and be willing to crucify the old man. In Romans 6 and 6 it says, "Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him and that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin." But knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him. That old man, when you become a Christian, ought to be crucified. He ought to be long gone. That's not going to say that as a new convert, you know, over a year, you may have a problem with something. Over a little bit of time, you may struggle with something. But it shouldn't go on for years. You shouldn't be serving the Lord for multiple years and still have the battles and the difficulties that a lot of people hang on to. Talks about loving the pleasures of this world, the sins of this world. And that's the problem, is a lot of times people like to hang on to those things and are not willing to crucify the old man. Galatians 2 and 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." There's a lot of people that they've never been crucified. There's many people that's missed out on what the Lord has for them because they have not got a hold of this right here. Because they haven't gone and been crucified. Let God crucify them once and for all and do away with that old man. We try to come up with every kind of excuse of why it's okay for us to do the things we want to do. Or do the things that we've heard the Lord speak to our hearts. I mean, you hear people say all kinds of things, but I wrote down about three of them here. It says, you hear people say, "Well, why would God want me to go and do something like that for?" That's pretty rude to say that of the Lord, discriminating of the Lord. There's a lot of things I don't know why the Lord has asked me to do what He's done. That I do. There's a lot of things that it says clearly in the Bible for us not to do. I mean, why did Eve have to stay away from the fruit, the tree? Out of everything in there, she had to stay away from one thing, and of course, that's what she was drawn. That's just like we are. We're still like that today. You know, you tell your kid, "Do not do this thing right here." Whether it's your kid or any kid, what do? They go and do that one thing, Brother Boyer. It never fails. But you know what? We're just like that. But you know, there's things that the Bible clearly tells us to do. And I don't always understand them, Brother Streeter. But I'm going to do what He tells me to do. Because He's laid out a plan. He's laid out a roadmap. And it'll lead us in the right path, praise God. You hear people say, "Well, the Bible never said that I couldn't do that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that I can't do that or that I could do that." You don't usually hear them say that I can do that. It's always that I can't do that. Another one is that's not sin. That's not sinful. They're pretty observant, but it may be that weight that does so easily beset us. It may be that weight that holds us back from going on. Do you realize it may not be sin that keeps you out of heaven? It could simply be a weight that could keep you out of heaven. What do you mean, Brother Armstrong? Yeah. You keep a hold of those weights long enough, they're going to drag you down. And what would be once a weight will turn in and change into being sin. Why? Because someone wasn't willing to pay the price. They wasn't willing to crucify that old man and deny him. By denying self, you may have to give up something. You may also have to go through something less desirable. Maybe persecution or hardness. In Mark 10 and 21, it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou should have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That's when he said it to him. While he was sitting there, beholding him and loving on him, he told him the best advice that he could give him. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't satisfying enough for this guy. And how many times have we been in the very same predicament where we're in the presence of God? God's holding us. God's moving up on our hearts and lives. And what happens? We say, no, that's not good enough, Lord. Or that's too much. I can't handle that. You know, the God of today in the church world, the God that a lot of people are serving, they'll tell you, say, well, let me tell you, God, my God wouldn't tell you to do that. My God wouldn't tell you you have to go out and sell all that you have and give to the poor. No, God wouldn't do something like that. God's merciful. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour blessings out upon you. And those things are true. But let me tell you what, here's an example right here where God did say, while he was beholding somebody, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And what was that for? That they could have treasures in heaven and that they could take up the cross and follow him. No, they're right. The God of this world, the God of today, would never tell anybody that. But the God of the Bible just might ask of something of you or I. No, I haven't heard of anybody lately having to go and sell their house, sell their car, sell every possession and give to the poor. But he asked that of one person one time. And truth be known, he's probably asked that of a few others. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who are going to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, you ever thought about that? There's a lot of people that are never, they don't know about the persecution. It says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Maybe if we're not facing persecution, maybe we ought to see how godly our life is. Just a few verses up in 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to face things. We're going to face persecutions. We're going to have to endure hardness. But it's going to be worth it, church. It's going to be well worth it. Let me move on. Thirdly, taking up his cross. We must endure whatever is burdensome or is trying or is considered disgraceful in following Christ Jesus. I'm talking about if you're going to take up your cross, you're going to have to face some things that you don't want to face. There's been some real burdens that I've had to carry down through the years. There's been some trying things in my life that I've had to go through. There's been some even very disgraceful things that I've had to encounter simply because I was a Christian. Where I didn't want to face those things. I shouldn't have had to go through those things, but that's what happened. Simply because I was a Christian. I mean, I've grown up, you know, you hear people say, well, yeah, they don't know what I'm going through. They'd be having a sickness or they'd be going through a trial or a difficulty. Well, they just don't know what I'm going through. They just don't seem to understand. You know, there's a lot of things that people just don't realize what other people's been through. I may not know everything that you've been through. And I may, you know, here's the deal. No one's been through the same exact thing, hardly. I mean, yeah, you may have had your family may have had cancer, and they went through a situation, and they died, and so-and-so over here is going through the same thing. But every situation is different. I mean, I know a brother that he has cancer. He's taken chemo or radiation. I don't know what all. And the brother's, I mean, and he has some problems, but never, ever had any bit of pain whatsoever. Didn't ever even take pain medication. But then you hear about people, that's just all they can bear, and they're giving them all the morphine and everything under the sun they can give them, and they're still in excruciating pain. But you know, when you take up your cross, you're taking up some difficulties. It consists simply in doing our duty when we take up our cross. And when you take up your cross to follow Jesus, you're simply doing your duty. Let people of this world think of it or speak of it in any way they want to. They can think what they want. They can say what they want. But you know what? It ain't going to change things. It ought not to change things in your life if you're really taking up your cross and serving Him. It does not consist in making trouble for ourselves. Talking about when you take up your cross, it doesn't consist in making trouble for yourselves or doing things merely to be observed. It is just doing what is required of us in the Scriptures. Let it produce whatever shame, let it produce whatever disgrace, let it produce whatever pain it may. But it is what every follower of Jesus is required to do, is to take up the cross. It's not a popular thing. I mean, those things right there that I just went through as I'm talking about taking up your cross, that's why there's a lot of people that's fallen by the wayside. That's why there's a lot of people that's thrown in the tail. They haven't pressed on. They haven't given it all they've got because you have to go through some hard times when you take up your cross. It isn't always a bed of roses. I've grown up, parents separated. Mom, all my life, has an epileptic seizure. About every 2 to 3 weeks growing up, she would have seizures. And I'm not talking just some grandma seizure. I'm talking some hard, heavy seizures. I mean, we're seeing things, they try her on different medication, and it would just, it may make them go off, make her go off crazy. I mean, I've seen her throw a telephone at my grandma. I've seen things that I didn't want to see. But you know what? There were some things I endured. You say, well, you endured that because you was a Christian? Well, yeah. I become a Christian, and that's part of what come along with my life, is the way I look at it. Yeah, maybe if I didn't ever become a Christian, chances are that would have all still happened. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look through it through good eyes. You can look through some bad eyes. It's all in the way you want to look and see things. But you know what? I never one time seen or heard my mom complain about what she was going through, what she was experiencing. And I never one time seen her say, why has God done this to me? Or why has this happened to me? No, I just seen her press in, and I've seen her pray and continue to remain faithful unto God. And you know what? Since we've been out, those three kids have been out of the house, she's done better in all that time than what she ever has. I mean, Brother Streeter, she was going to the best doctor in Dallas, Texas, that she could go to, and her insurance canceled her, and she had to go to some other doctor. The guy ended up being a Christian. The guy ended up getting her on some medication that has actually brought her seizures. Well, for a while, she went for about 2 years without ever having any. And every once in a while, she'll have one. I mean, I don't understand the things of God. I don't understand why we have to go through some of the things that we go through. But I'll tell you what. Sometimes this is okay. Sometimes God's trying to teach us some things, show us some things. And sometimes we just got to go through some things. But you know what? Through it all, my dad got cancer, died. It had went into remission, come back, and he passed away just days before I was about to graduate from high school. Did I get mad at God? Did I get mad and say, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you take my father? No. I mean, we had a relationship. We'd go spend the summer. We'd spend every other weekend over there at my dad's. I mean, he was a father to us. He was a good father. He didn't know the Lord up until just right around the time he got cancer. And I still would have to question his salvation. But he's made efforts and strived to make things right with the Lord. But you know what? There's times where I've seen things because of the things that we went through that brought glory and honor to God. Sometimes you're going to have to face things. But through it all, you know what? I'm going to still follow him. And that's the last thing that he mentioned there. He says, follow me. How many Christians have you seen in your lifetime or from time to time that they didn't even look the part, they didn't act the part, they didn't talk the part, but they sure claim to be a Christian? And I understand there's people that, you know, they're Christians and they don't have all the outward standards down that, quite like we have and believe that you ought to have. And I'm not going to say they're not going to heaven. I'm not going to say they're not a Christian. I believe they ought to be striving. They ought to be learning. But what I am saying is, I'm talking about people that are just outright, you know. I'm not talking about judging them. You know them by their fruits. You know that they're not saved. There's a lot of people like that. But you know, when they start saying, well, yeah, I'm saved, or you start talking to them and you realize, man, they really have a knowledge of the things of God. You know, it makes me think they're probably somebody that one time had an experience. And it may have even been a one-time experience at an altar, or maybe in a Sunday school class, or maybe somebody's witnessing to them where they really started out and was going to try to live for God, but for whatever reason, they didn't make it. So why would they not keep on? Well, much like a lot of people of us have done. A lot of people that we know that sat in church with us, that we've grown up with, that are our kinfolks. Why? Because some of them, the cost was too much for them. They were not willing to do what he asked of them. The cross was too much to bear. They were unfaithful and they fell away. They lost their first love. In Matthew 4:19, it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I like how it says it, though, in Mark 1:17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He's wanting to make us to become fishers of men. He's wanting to make us to be more than what we are. But it's only as we come after him. In Matthew 8:22, again it says, follow me. He said, even let the dead bury their dead. He's wanting us to come. He's wanting us to lay everything aside, get everything, just forget about it all. I mean, let the dead bury the dead. Buddy, that's getting up and hitting the road. But that's what he's talking about. You ain't got time to mess around. You ain't got time to fiddle around. You ain't got time to straighten things out. Why? Because you'll be sucked back in and you'll become one of those dead. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and they know, and I know them and they follow me. He says, my sheep hear my voice, or my sheep know my voice. This is Jesus speaking. And he says that I know them and they follow me. Do you remember as a kid playing follow the leader? You know, you're watching and you're following, you're doing whatever they do, and if you're walking around, you're doing walking, going around the same things. But have you ever tried it with your eyes closed and you had to follow the leaders, just their voice? You had to listen to them, tell you how to get around, and of course, you know, they play that game, they always got to put chairs and something there to get you to try to trip over and, you know. But you gotta listen to that voice. Well, we're not in a game, church. And there's more than one voice that you can listen to. You can listen to self. And that's a lot of times who we're listening to. We can listen to the voice of the enemy, or we can listen to the voice of God. But he says, my sheep, if we're one of his, we're going to know his voice, church. And he says, I'll know them and they'll follow me. Sister Prysock, if you'll come back. Do you know his voice? In closing, you must first know what you come after before you can pursue after it. You got to know what you come after before you can pursue after it. Before you can go pursuing after something, you got to know what you're going to pursue after. And a lot of times we come in and we just jump in head first and we don't even know what we're pursuing after. But this morning, we're talking about what have you come after. We read another verse here in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus." He's it. Now this morning you may have come in here, I think like all of us, in need of something from the Lord. I'm not going to ask you what it is, but and you know that even if we was, there's some things that are so personal or so dear to you that are so maybe embarrassing to you that you wouldn't dare share with anybody. You can share it with Jesus. And let me tell you, you need to share it with Jesus. You need to vocalize it and tell Him. Jesus is a mind reader. He's a heart reader too, but He still said to confess with our mouth our sin. Now He could look down and He could see that your heart was right. Brother Jared, He could see that He was doing, and He could see that He was, as He was plowing that heart, He could see that you was ready to make things right. But He still had you confess with your mouth. And I believe if we got to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we had to confess our sins with our mouth, I believe it'd probably be good to confess our needs to the Lord with our mouth. But maybe you come in need of salvation, or deliverance, or healing, victory. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need financial provision. Maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you come to church with this morning. Maybe you didn't even come with anything in mind. Maybe you just are here because it's Sunday. Maybe you're here because it's Sunday morning, then that's what you do on Sunday morning. But let me tell you what, it needs to be more than just coming to church because it's Sunday morning. We need to be coming to church for one purpose and one thing in mind, and that's that we may seek after and come after Jesus Christ. Sister, I want you to, Brother Prysock, come help me. I want y'all to sing that, "If I Could Just Touch the Hem of His Garment," here in just a moment. Our text talked about, if any man will come after me. And I preached to this, not this sermon here, but I touched on this with the youth last night. Preached along these same lines, but not the same message. But I honed on in what I'm fixing to mention to you guys. That too many times we come and we know that we have a need. We know we have a circumstance. We know that there's things in our lives. And we come and we seek after that thing. We don't seek after the right thing. You know, if you come to church with the mindset that I want more of Jesus, then let me tell you, that's what you're going to get. If you come and you're thinking He's all I need, He's all I need, that song, if that's on your mind and that's your heart, let me tell you what, that's all you need and that's all you're going to get is Him. If you come and you're thinking that song, "More of You, Lord, I want more of You, I need more of You," let me tell you what, you're going to get more of Him. But the problem is when we come and we're just at church. But I believe this morning, God don't want us to leave here the same way we come in. He wants us to leave changed. Too many times we focus on our problems and not on who can solve our problems. I want us to stand. This morning, church, I want to remind you, Jesus is still the Savior of the world. Jesus is still in the deliverance business. Jesus is still the great physician. There is still victory in Jesus. Jesus can speak a miracle to pass this morning. Jesus can be your provider financially in any other way. And Jesus can be your baptizer. But let me tell you what, they all involve one thing. They involve Jesus. They involve Jesus. And I want to ask you, what did you come after this morning? Did you come after Jesus or did you come after deliverance? Did you come after Jesus or did you come after victory? Did you come after Jesus or did you come after a healing? I understand, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you need a healing or if you need deliverance, you need to come and seek after that. But I want you to realize what I'm talking about is when you come down, you can ask Jesus, "Lord, I need victory. I need healing. I need this or I need that." But we ain't got to tell Him 15 times. He hears this the first time. You know what he would like to hear 15 times? It's how much you love him. How much you worship him. How much you adore him. Y'all's quiet tonight. I don't know what I'm preaching, but I'm preaching the gospel. I said, Jesus wants to hear you say he loves you. Or that you love him. That you appreciate him. You understand me? Jesus, if you don't realize it, let me just tell you. Jesus is a baptizer.
That's right.
Brother Boyer, Jesus is the great physician. He's the healer. Brother Bernie, he's the deliverer. There's people that are bound here this morning. There's people that need healing here. And we get into the altars and what do? We seek the healing. We seek the thing, but we don't seek the healer. Let me tell you, we got it wrong. We need to seek the one that can give it to us. Now I'll tell you what, I just seen three people baptized with the Holy Ghost at camp. I can't tell you if they still got it today or not. That's not for me to worry about and judge them accordingly. I hope they still got it. I'm worried if they still got it. Don't misunderstand. But I'll tell you what, you know why and how people get what they need? It's by seeking after the one who can give it. Jesus didn't say, draw near to the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, draw near to the healing. He didn't say, draw near to the victory. He said, draw nigh unto me. And he said, I'll draw nigh unto you. And I've never seen it fail, Brother Templeton. As we draw near to God, he comes by and he moves. I've seen it time and time again as people get down and they seek the face of God. They cry out and they begin to worship him and adore him. That's when God shows up. But a lot of times we seek after the very thing that we're wanting. That we're wanting. Instead of seeking after the one who can give it to us. I want us to lift our hands and let's worship the Lord this morning. Oh, Father, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're all that we need this morning. Oh, God, we worship you. We magnify you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you are what we come after. Lord, you are what we come after this morning. Oh, God, open our mind to understanding, Lord. Lord, that we need you, Jesus. Oh, if we'll get full of Jesus, oh, he'll fill us up with everything else. Oh, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What are you seeking after? What have you been seeking after? I believe it. I believe that we've got so focused on seeking after the wrong thing. And I understand, I'm not saying that we're committing sin. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we get caught up and we're seeking after the... You say, well, God understands. God knows what I mean. No, he don't know. I mean, he does. He knows you're confused. He knows you're doing it wrong. But is he going to understand sin? No. He's put some things in order. He's put some things in a way that they ought to go. I mean, he has order for a reason. Hallelujah. I don't know what you need from the Lord, but I believe there's some hearts here that need help from God desperately. And I'm not calling for you if you got just a headache. I'm talking about if you have some real needs or if you need victory, if you need desperate. I'm talking about you're really serious and you want God to move. I want you first to come and stand across the front. And I don't mean that bad. If you have a headache, come on. But there's some real needs. And I want you to step out and let's come. I want you to come and stand across the front. And we're going to pray for you this morning.
If I could just
hallelujah. If you want help from God, you need to come now. If you want God to help you, you need to come right now.
If I could just
hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I'm not going to ask you what the problem is, but we're going to lay hands and we're going to pray for you. I want the board to come, Pastor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want everybody else now to come together and find somebody to pray with. Stand behind somebody. Let's help them pray, church. Oh, if you're standing up here, I want you to tell the Lord what you need. And I want you to begin to worship Him and praise Him and thank Him for it. Even in advance, give Him thanksgiving for it. He's here to help you tonight. He's here to help you this morning.